Well, this morning what we're going to do is I want to, first of all, thank you for creating space in your busy schedules to be here this morning. And I know there's other things that you could be doing with your time, but I think it says a lot about each one who has taken time to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Because there's a beautiful verse in Psalms that says that blessed are those who are rooted and planted in God's house, they will prosper. And there's just something about saying, God, I'm going to make a priority of your house. I'm going to be rooted. I'm going to be planted. I'm going to make a difference. And God promises that we will prosper. Does that mean we'll be more rich money-wise? Probably not, but there's prosperity means a lot of things. So I just thank you for being here this morning. We're in this series, and actually today we're going to conclude this series. We're talking about great relationships. How many people have been here for every service in great relationships? Probably about five of us, okay? It's just that we have that big of a turnover. It's a cool thing. So anyway, up to this point in great relationships, we talked about having great marriages, okay? I won't have you raise your hand if you have a great marriage or not, because one of the spouse may be raising their hand and the other spouse might be hitting that person in the side. No, we don't. Yes, we do. No, see, already issues, okay? Then we've talked about having great families. God wants us to have great families. And then we've talked about last week. I thought last week was just very eye-opening for me as I was preparing, and that is make sure we have great friendships, great friendships. Well, today what I want to do is I want to conclude this series by talking about actually I believe is the most important relationship that we can have, and that is our relationship with God, okay? So let me begin by asking a question. So everybody forget all that's going on, all the disturbances, what you're going to be doing after church this morning, how hard it was to get here. Forget all those things. Let me ask you a question. Don't respond audibly or out loud. Just respond in your heart, in your thought process. Here's my question for you this morning. Do you really believe that God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, do you believe that God really desires to have a relationship with you? Think about that. Do you really believe that God wants to have a relationship not with just certain people, but he wants to have a relationship with you? Think about that, with you. Regardless of what you've done in the past, regardless of what road or where you've been in the past, do you believe that God wants to have a relationship with you? And when I say relationship, I'm not talking about some cold, distant relationship where we're not really connected with God. He's kind of out there. I'm kind of on planet Earth. He's out there in the cosmos. That's not the kind of relationship I'm talking about. But do you believe that God wants to have a relationship with you that can be called a friendship? That God wants to be a friend with you, a friend that is so close, a friend that is so intimate, that that friendship has the power to transform your life. So I want you to think about that for a minute. Do you believe that God wants to have a friendship? He wants to be your friend, okay? So what I want to do today is we're going to just take a simple journey, and I'm going to share with you five practical steps that each one of us can take to deepen our relationship, our friendship with God. Because I tell you what, when we come into this dynamic, when we're in a friendship with God, it changes everything. And I really believe that's God's heart for me. It's God's heart for you, okay? But before we look into these five steps, I need to make something very clear. So listen closely as I speak here for the next few minutes. I want to make something clear, and that is that we, you and me, you and I, were born with a sinful nature. And everybody said, yeah, great to be in church this morning. Great news, sinful nature. What does that mean? We're naturally bent towards sin. I don't know about you, but it takes no effort at all for me to sin. It takes no effort. That's just how we're naturally born. We're born with a sinful nature. And because of sin, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Because of sins, we are enemies of God. We're enemies. That's not me speaking. That's what the Bible says. Because of sin, we're enemy with God. There's this chasm between man and God. There's wrath between us and God. I want everybody to hear that. And that's just the facts because of sin. That's the bad news, but here's the good news, and that is that Jesus came to earth over 2,000 years ago. He came on a mission, and he came to change all of that. You say, well, what did Jesus do? Well, Jesus came with one thought in mind, and his purpose, his mission in life was to go to the cross. His mission was to go to the cross so that he could break down the barrier that kept us from being enemies to being friends with God. He broke down the barrier, which is what? Sin. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid the price for our sins. Why? So that we no longer have to be enemies, no longer have to be hostile, but now we can have this wonderful relationship. We can have this wonderful friendship with God. I want you to look at this verse on the screen. It's Romans 5, 10 through 11. It says, we were restored into friendship. Everybody say friendship. We were restored into friendship with God. How? By the death of his son, while we were still, what? Enemies. He didn't wait for everything to get all cleaned up in our lives. Well, I'm better than I was before. No, well, we were still enemies. So we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. Now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Why? All because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Making us, what? Everybody say it together again. Friends of God. I love that. We can be friends of God. That's the good news. So with faith, when we put faith and trust in Jesus, people who were once enemies now can be now friends with God. Okay? And I want to let you know, you can't earn friendship with God. You can't bribe God. You can't buy it. You can't do anything. It's a gift. It's a gift from God, and it's a gift that was paid for by Jesus' death on the cross. That's basically the gospel, what I just shared with you in the last few minutes. Hostility, we can be brought into friendship with God through faith in Christ. The gospel is that simple. It's that beautiful. It's just a gift. So no longer enemies. If you put your faith in Christ, there's not opposition. Now you're a friend. Look what Jesus says in John 15, 15. Jesus said it this way. He says, I no longer call you servants. Instead, everybody read this last part together. I call you friends. Let's all read that verse together again. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends. Friends. I love that word, friends. Think about a friend. Because in the Greek, you need to understand the translation of that word friend. It doesn't mean I'm a casual acquaintance. Meaning God's off there doing his thing. You're down here doing your thing. You're working. He's up in heaven. No, that word friend means deep, close, personal, intimate friendship. It's the word that we use nowadays for the best man at a wedding. That's the one you depend upon the most as the groom. You depend upon this best friend, the one who's going to be there for you. And that's what Jesus wants to be for you today. That's what God wants to be for you. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be close. He wants to walk through life with you. All the struggles, the trials, the things that you face, he wants to be there for you, okay? So you say, well, friends of God, really, really? I don't know about that. Does that really matter to God? Well, look what God says in Exodus 34, 14. It's on the screen. It says this about God, that he is a God who is, what's the word? Everybody say it together. Passionate. Wow. What are you passionate about? What are you passionate about this morning? I'll tell you what God's passionate about. He's passionate about his relationship with you. Do you feel like that this morning, that that's the case? That God, you are passionate about wanting to have a relationship with me. And that's what the scripture says. He's passionate about his relationship. And so the truth is, God desires this relationship, this friendship. He wants to be intimate with you. And this all begins the moment that you repent of your sins and you turn and place your trust in Jesus. Right there, you go from being an enemy to being a friend just that quick. But here's the deal. That was the start of the relationship. I call it almost the marriage of the relationship. But how many people know that God wants to go deeper with us? Amen? God wants to go deeper in our friendship. So what I want to do right now is I want to just talk a few minutes about how we can go deeper in our relationship with God. So I encourage you to write these things down. Five practical steps that you can take if you want to say, God, I want to go deeper. I hear people all the time say, I want to go deeper. I want the deeper things of God. And I understand what you're saying, but We're going to share some things today, ways that you can go deeper with God. Number one, we go deeper with God by simply saying, God, you're going to be my top priority. My top priority. So you're never going to become friends in that deeper, intimate place just in your spare time. It just doesn't happen that way. We become friends by saying, God, you're going to be the top priority in my life. And a lot of people don't understand this, but there was a guy in the Bible whose name was Saul, who later became Paul. I want you to listen to how Paul viewed that. Look at the verse. Paul said this, pretty radical. He said, everything else is worthless. Wow. Wow. Everything else is worthless compared with the priceless gain of what? Knowing Christ Jesus. He said, I've discarded everything else. I've counted it all as what? Everybody say the word. Garbage. Wow. Why? So that I might know who? Christ. So what's Paul saying here? Paul is saying that knowing Jesus, having a friendship with Jesus, was his top priority. And he's saying, hey, nothing else is going to get in the way. He was very intentional about not allowing anything else to get in the way. And some people say, well, does that mean that I can't have any other friends? Does that mean I don't go to work and have a job and have other hobbies and interests? Most certainly we have those things. God has placed those things in our heart. But here's the deal. Paul's saying, hey, yeah, you can have all those things, but those things have to be secondary. And you know what? God's got to be their top priority. He's got to be first in the midst of playing sports. He's got to be first in the midst of having friends. He's got to be first in the midst of going to work every day. If you want to deepen your friendship with God, you got to say, Lord, you're my priority. My priority isn't the American dream. My priority isn't to make $150,000 a year. My priority, Lord, is you. It's you. Nothing else will get in the way. Yes, I'll involve myself with other things, but Lord, you are the priority of my life. And look what Jeremiah says about this journey to make God the top priority. He says this, Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me when you seek me with, everybody say that word, all your heart. He's saying, hey, you're going to find me. We're going to become deeper friends when you take the time to do what? To seek me with not just a portion of your heart, but with all of your heart. Okay? So we're going to deepen this relationship, this friendship, by just saying, hey, this is going to be my priority. This is why I get up. This is what I'm all about. Okay? And here's the deal. When you do that, there's a promise. How many people love God's promises? Say, yay. I love God's promise. Look at the promise of be put him first. We know this, Matthew 6:33. Everybody, let's read this together. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Okay? So let's read that again, and let's emphasize some key words. For example, let's emphasize the word everything I need. Okay? Let's read it again. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give me everything I want. Need. Let's not confuse want and needs here, okay? We put God first. We make him our top priority. Here's the deal. God intervenes in our life. He gets involved in our lives. And he knows everything you need today. He knows what you need. And he said, hey, you put me first. You make me the top priority. I got your back. I got you covered. You put me first. I'll take care of everything you need. And I know exactly what you need. I know exactly your challenges, your struggles. I know it all. So here we go. If you're going to deepen your friendship with God, you got to just say, God, you're it. You're the top priority. You're not third. You're not fourth. You're not fifth. You're the top of my life. You're everything. Step number two, or the second step that you can take, and this one is big, 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 big in today's culture. How do I know? Because I struggle with this one. Everybody read number two together. Slow down. Is it there? Slow down. I just wonder because you weren't reading. Everybody together. Slow down and be quiet. That's okay. We'll get over that. I hope you get the point. Everybody say, that was my issue. I do all that. I was probably sleeping at that time. But anyway, slow down and be quiet. I have found out in my life, one of the biggest walls that keeps me from greater intimacy and friendship with God, one of the biggest issues is busy, noise. Can anybody say, I know what you're talking about? Say amen. Amen. We just get too busy. There's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of things contending for our attention and our time. I mean, there's 101 different things you can be doing even right now. There's things pulling us all different directions, and sometimes they're very good things, but good can become the enemy of great. But there's a lot of things contending, and there's a lot of it is just where it's so busy and there's so much noise. And I love the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 46:10. He says these words. Everybody, let's read these together. I hope you don't mind reading the Bible together. But let's read this verse together. Be still and know that I'm God. Second word there again. Let's say that word together. Still. What is one of the biggest things that's going to keep you from that friendship with God growing and deeper is there's all this busyness, all the noise that's going on around us. And we need to learn how to just be still and know that I am God. And I love what Jesus says in this area. Let's look at the verse. You don't have to read it with me. Matthew chapter 6. It says, when you come before God, don't turn it into a big production. Just find a quiet, secluded place. How many people love a quiet, secluded place? Okay? So that you won't be tempted to role play before God and other people. That's what he's thinking there. Just be there as simple and honest as you can imagine or manage. And here's what will happen. The focus will shift from you to who? God. And you will begin to sense his what? His grace. Some of us, if you're going to just get closer to God, you know what you need to do? It's so simple, but it's so difficult. This is what you need to do. Take the cell phone, turn it off. No text messages are coming in. No phone calls are coming in. And what some of you need to do is, and this is hard for me, just come to a quiet place and just do what? Sit. How many people that's hard for you to do? Come on, we got a lot of liars here, by the way, okay? You just got to be sitting. You're thinking, wow, that is a waste of time. I need to cut the grass. I need to yada, yada, yada. I'm horrible at this, so I'm speaking out of weakness, not strength. Every once in a while, I figure it out, and I'll just come and just sit right there. Sit. Sit. Turn off the phone. Don't return a text. Don't be thinking about anything else. Just sit. I want to let you know it's at those moments that God moves. Are you hearing me? It's at that moment God begins to put thoughts in my mind. He begins to speak to my heart. He begins to do things. Somebody said something years ago that really struck chord in me. Some of you are under-rested. And the most spiritual thing you may have to do is sleep. I think the Spanish culture has it figured out. It's the word fiestas or siesta. What's the word? Siestas. Then we have a fiesta. That's what I'm talking about. Some of you are not sleeping enough. You're not resting enough. And you're getting so blocked up. You're getting part of who you are spiritually is your emotion, your physical health. And it just stinks right now. And if some of you want to get spiritual today, you can leave church and say, Pastor Mike told me to do this. Hit the recliner. Turn on golf on TV. That is the best sleep remedy for me. Some of you just need to slow down. If we're going to grow in this relationship with God, this friendship with God, I just want to let you know, sometimes you just got to be still. Know that I'm God, not worry about the next day at work. God, how are we going to grow this church? It's just overwhelming. No. We think about so many things and we get so preoccupied, and God's saying, you know what, I want to be friends with you. But I know with Heather, our friendship is contingent for her that we spend what? Quantity and quality time together. Could it be that the God of the universe wants you just to stop being so stinking busy and just sit there? You say, well, that's totally unproductive. That's not the American way. Well, get in touch with God's way. Some of you got 1,000 messages just bombarding you. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. You're not still. So this is what you're going to do tomorrow at 10 a.m., regardless of where you're at. I'm only kidding. Some of you are like, yeah, that's going to be a great day at work. Yeah. But some of you just need to start your day just saying, God, for 3 minutes, I'm just going to sit. I'm not going to hear a ding or ring and just sit in the presence of God. Amen? How many people believe, and we might not get through the rest of the message because we're really rambling on and I realize what time we need to leave. How many people believe this statement? God wants to speak to you. Come on. You don't believe that, do you? How many people believe that God wants to speak to you? How many people believe that God knows exactly what you need right now, today? Can he get your attention when you're running 100 miles an hour? I got to be here. I got to be there. I should really be over there. No, I need to be over here. That happens in marriage. What happens? Two people separate. Their friendship is stressed out. Let me say it that way. Folks, God loves you guys so much, and he wants to be your friend. And he just wants you to say, hey, friend, can we just sit and will you speak to my heart? And I love what Jesus says here. You'll begin to shift your focus from you to who? To God. And you'll begin to what? Sense his grace. How many people want to sense God's grace, meaning his enabling to do what you need to do? But we're so busy. And here's why, because we wear busyness like this badge of success. Look how important I am. Well, if that means being important, I don't want to be important. I want to be with God. Amen? And I just want to encourage people here today, take 3 minutes the next 7 days to say, God, you can turn on your cell phone, set the alarm, and just wait in the presence of God. Amen? I think what I need more than anything else, and I think all of you would be in this with me, what we need more than anything else is just to be in the presence of God. Has anybody ever experienced the presence of God? Raise your hand. Woo! It is good stuff. It's nothing that this world can offer, but only God. So be in his presence, okay? Are we good? Everybody say we're good. So who's going to take the 7-day challenge? 3 minutes a day. Raise your hand. 3 minutes a day. 7 days. Now, some of you are just not committing. Come on. We'll talk with you later. Come down front. We'll slap you in. No, I'm only kidding. Step 3. These are no particular order. We need to do them all. They're all important. If you're going to become friends with God, you've got to decide what friendship's more important to you. When I say you got to decide whose friendship's more important to you, I'm not referring to a friendship with another person. So get that clear. What I'm saying here is I'm referring to the friendship between God and the world. You got to discern what friendship's more important. Do you want to be a friend of God or do you want to be a friend of the world? Let me explain what I'm talking about. James chapter 4, the verses on the screen. James, the brother of Jesus, says this. You should know that loving the world is the same as what? Ooh, that's hard to hear, isn't it? Hating God. Anyone who wants to be a friend of the world becomes what? An enemy of God. That's a very heady, confusing verse. Because if you look back to John 3:16, it says what? For God so loved the world. So that verse tells us that God loves the world. What should we do? We should love the world. So which one is it? Are we supposed to love the world or hate the world? Because that's what James is saying. Well, you need to understand the key word in both of these verses is the word world. So say world, 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 okay? So when Jesus says, God so loved the world, you need to understand that he's talking about what? He's talking about people. God so loved people. 7 billion people, he so loves every person. But when James uses the word world, he's referring to, listen carefully, the value system of the world. The value system of the world. He's talking about the materialism, the pleasure, the popularity, the prestige. He's talking about the passions, the possessions, the positions. And what happens is one of the things that blocks us out in our friendship with God is we become so in love with the value system of the world that says, if you're going to be successful, you got to act this way, you got to achieve these things, you got to do these things. And over here, God's saying, no, that's really what it's not all about. What's the most important thing in life is that you love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the great commandment. And so what happens is we're in this tension. Lord, yes, I said I love you, Jesus, but am I loving my friendship with the world, saying the world's telling me all the things they're pulling for me to be, all these things that it says that I should be, or should I be loving you and God saying, hey, if you want to be a friend of mine, yeah, the world may be telling you that's what success looks like, but I'm here to tell you, have a friendship with me, and I'll really show you what success looks like. Amen? So is that clear what that means? So my thought for you today is, whose friendship do you value the most? What the world says you should be? Or what God says you should be? And there's this big disconnect. And I know because I walk the planet just like you. There's this pull, pull, pull. The world says this is success. And God's saying, hey, I want to be your friend, okay? So let's look at the fourth step. We're moving along at a great pace here. If you want to be a friend, if you want to deepen that friendship, number four is you just need to be able to maintain a conversation, a constant conversation with God. See, that friendship's just not going to happen because I went to church Sunday. I'm good. It's a good week. It's going to be a great week. God and I are friends, but no, you got to be able to maintain a constant conversation with God the Father, meaning that we talk all the time. We talk to God all the time about anything, everything, whatever it is we're feeling. We're able to have that running, constant conversation with God. Amen? Paul said it this way. We're going to read this verse together also. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's read it together. Pray all the time. Pray in church. Oh, no, that's a good place. But he says, pray all the time. See, I really kind of, even though I totally don't agree with the Muslim way of life, there's one thing that I do appreciate them about them, and it is they're able to say four times a day. Muslims are committed to pray four times a day to God, or their God as they interpret God. But as Christians, Paul's saying, hey, it's not just about four times a day. It's what? All day, all the time. We're in this constant conversation with God. Let's just think of it this way. Every time I'm picking on cell phones today, how many texts do you send a day? Anybody want to just throw out a number? This is interaction time. How many texts do you think you send a day? Oh, 25. Just think of 25. Just think of what that would look like. 25 times a day, you said a brief prayer to God. How many people think that would change your day? God, I was thinking about you, and I appreciate how much you love me. I appreciate the roof over my head. I appreciate the job that you give me able to provide for my family. Or God, you're driving in your car, you say, God, I know my friend Mark and Cheryl are going through a tough time. Would you please be with them this week? That took 5 seconds. How many people know in this friendship with God, He wants to be in constant conversation with you? Lord, I know Grant right now is taking that AP class test. Just be with him in that test. Help him to recall all the things he studied. And even when he has to guess on an answer, may all his guesses be right. And everybody said, amen. I say, why not? Okay? Would it be God? I'm heading home from work today. I just had a bad day, and I'm not ready to go in there and hear crying kids. I'm not even sure I'm ready to deal with my spouse right now. God, I'm going to walk through that door today. Be with me. Give me strength. How many people say, good idea? Help me not to be ugly and spread around poison with my words when I get home. God, give me the grace. How many people know that's what kind of relationship God wants to have with you? God, I'm just having a horrible day. Can you help turn things around? God is a friend that wants to have this relationship with you. Are we tracking today? How many people want to go deeper with God? Here's the good news. God wants to go deeper with you. And it's almost like He passes the ball to you and says, in your court, I'm here. James says, you draw close to God, He'll do what? He'll draw close to you. It's almost like He's saying, hey, it's in your court. What are you going to do with the ball? Let's get it on. Amen? So, cool. Last one. This is huge. Everybody say huge. I mean, you got to say it with a little passion. Huge. This is huge. This is big. Hear my heart. If you're going to go deeper in your relationship with God, you got to do what? Trust God in your pain. Has anybody ever had pain? Emotional, physical, discouragement? You got to trust God with that pain. Every good friendship is built on what? Trust. See, we have a lot of acquaintances and then we have friends. The difference is acquaintances talk. Friends do what? They trust. They trust that you're going to be there for me. They trust that you're going to walk with me. You're going to be there with me, okay? But acquaintances, all you do is just talk. God doesn't just want us to talk. He wants us to be in this trusting relationship. That's why it says trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. So the bedrock of every good friendship is trust, and that's what God wants also. We need to trust Him when things don't make sense. Is anybody going through a time, a season right now, it just doesn't make sense? You need to trust Him when things are backwards. You need to trust Him when things are going sideways. You just need to learn how to trust Him. And you need to trust Him when you think, you know, this, I'm going under and this may be it. You got to trust. So what does trust look like? I want to show you a verse I think is a beautiful picture of what trust looks like. Psalms 52 or 55:22. Can we read this verse together again? Everybody together. Give your burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. So let's read that again. Let's use the personal pronouns. Give my burdens to the Lord, and He will take care of me. He will not permit me, the godly, to slip and fall. Folks, I want to let you know that you can trust God in your pain. Things that don't make sense, things that are bringing in confusion, thinking, Lord, why didn't this happen? Why is this happening? All the different things, you can trust God. And He says, give that burden to the Lord. You can't hold on to it. You got to say, Lord, I trust You enough to give this to You. I'm facing a situation currently without too many details where there might be a change occurring in my life, in a situation in my life. And I'm like, oh, in the past I would have panicked. But now God's showing me, hey, Mike, you see my track record. It's perfect. It's good. I've never let you down. I'm faithful. And now he's saying, hey, just bring that to me. Give it to me. Don't pick it up again. Don't make it yours again. And you just trust in me, and I will take care of you. How many people know trust is a great place to be in your walk with God? You can trust him with your finances, with your physical health, with your emotions, with your job, with your kids. You can trust all those things to God because he is able to take care of anything that's going on in your life. You don't have to panic. You don't have to go through anxiety attacks. You don't have to lose weight because you're so worried. But here's the deal. We can trust in God with all the things in our life because of this relationship we have with God through Jesus Christ. We don't worry. Actually, the Bible tells us when we worry, to worry is sin. Why? Because the scripture says worry about what? Everybody, nothing, but pray about what? Everything. Let's say that verse again. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. We got the best deal in town. You and I don't have to worry. If we have this relationship with God through Jesus, we don't walk around with worry. We walk around trusting. And trusting that God's will is what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. God, I can't miss. I have nothing to lose. It is all good in my life because of you. And I love that. And here's why we can trust God in our pain. A verse. I want to read this verse. This is why you can trust God in your pain. Paul writes these words, our last verse of the day. And we know that in some things, no, it says what? All things, God works for the what? The good. Do you believe that? He works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Meaning that in your pain, God can use that pain to work all things together for good. God can use that pain in my life. If I submit it and surrender it to him, he can use it for future development in my life and actually to bring glory to his name, and it could impact many, many others in my life. But what do we like to do? We like to hold on to pain, fight pain. But God said, trust me. That's what friends are for. You can trust me. I'm going to take good care of you. You're my child. I'm your father. You can trust me in the pain. And that's when you really begin to see this friendship with God really beginning to develop and to grow. Amen? Amen. So those are the five ways that we can develop our relationship with God. We can trust God in our pain. We can maintain that conversation with God. We can decide whose friendship's more important. We need to, everybody say, slow down. You move too fast. But anyway, and then we can make God our top priority. So in ending today, all I want to say this is this, or what I want to say in closing is this. God wants to have a friendship with you, a friendship that will radically impact the quality of your life. But so many people, yeah, I'm a Christian, and I'm talking to Christians today. There's a lot of Christians, I believe, are, and myself included, are living far below what God intended for us to live. Yeah, I know Jesus. I asked Jesus. I repented. I'm living for him. But God's saying, you know, I want to deepen that friendship. I want to go places you thought you. I want to go places you don't even know about. I want to change your life in such a way that you'll be amazed what I want to do in your life. And I want to let you know God wants to be your friend. Amen.